From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
When unbelievers said either God is not good or he is not powerful, otherwise the world cannot be in the mess it's in. God either doesn't know what's going on, or he's not powerful enough to deal with it, or he's simply not good. Since most people are unwilling to believe that God is not good, they conclude that he is not all-powerful. He's doing the best he can, but his best isn't good enough. He is the God who tries and fails. That's not the biblical picture of God.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those he saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we're to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees brings us the first part of a message, God's Sovereignty Over All Things, as we continue our series in the book of Romans. Throughout history, mankind has wrestled with the problem of evil and suffering and how this relates to God's power and sovereignty versus his goodness and love. In his popular book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, Rabbi Harold Kushner concluded that God is good but somehow isn't able or doesn't have the power to prevent evil and wickedness in the world. Others, however, have come to the opposite conclusion, claiming that God is sovereign and all-powerful, but allows and perhaps even facilitates evil and suffering because he's not good and loving. How does the Bible address this seemingly difficult dilemma? The scripture text for today's message is from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Here once again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace. We've entitled, God's Sovereignty Over All Things, Part 1.
We were working our way through the book of Romans, and the sermon I preached before I was gone for those two Sundays was from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. I want to preach another sermon dealing with the subject content of those verses, because this is one of those passages that speaks so vividly of the sovereignty of God throughout the whole Bible. It's one of the more important texts on that subject. And we're going to look at this particular text and also a section from 1 Chronicles 29 where David prays a prayer very similar to the one we just read from King Jehoshaphat. First, let's read Romans 11, 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, this is near the end of David's life, and beginning in verse 10, so David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, Blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. For we are sojourners before thee and tenants, as all our fathers were, Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. In reference to the fact that we are all moving toward death and will die. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are God, that you are sovereign over all of your creation, that you are omnipotent, that you are omniscient, and that you are worthy of our honor and praise. We thank you that you are involved in the smallest of minutiae in our lives, that nothing escapes your notice, and that you are powerfully working out a perfect plan, both in history in general and in the history of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. One unbeliever said, either God is not good or he is not powerful. Otherwise, the world cannot be in the mess it's in. God either doesn't know what's going on, or he's not powerful enough to deal with it, or he's simply not good. Since most people are unwilling to believe that God is not good, they conclude that he is not all-powerful. He's doing the best he can, but his best isn't good enough. He is the God who tries and fails. That's not the biblical picture of God. The Bible, God's revelation of himself, proclaims that God is all-powerful, that he is sovereign. He may not explain everything that is going on in this universe. We may look at things and not understand them. We may see a mysterious element to some of the occurrences in our lives. But the biblical affirmation is that God is all-powerful and he is working out a plan that is in accordance with his infinite wisdom. Romans 11 and 1 Chronicles 29 both speak of the sovereignty of God over all his creation and all things. In Romans 11 and verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." In 1 Chronicles 29:11, David says that thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. He doesn't say that he exalts himself as head over some things, or just the things that we like, or the things that are pleasant to us, but over every aspect of our lives and every aspect of history, God is working out a perfect plan. Properly understood, this is a truth of Scripture that brings great comfort and confidence to us in the midst of trials, as well as in terms of our average living. In fact, the more truth we understand concerning God and His revelation of Himself in Scripture, the greater will be our confidence in God, our worship to God, and our zeal for God. As we increase in our understanding of who God is, as He truly is, as He reveals Himself in His Word, false concepts, idolatrous ideas of God are replaced by truth. And we are moved to worship. We are also moved to gratitude in understanding God's providence, as well as having a greater trust in Him. We see that God is sovereign over every aspect of this creation. Again, in Romans 8:36, it is from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Not some things originate in God and there are other things that somehow originate outside of Him. It's not the idea that dualism, where there's an equally good God and an equally bad God and they're battling it out in the universe, but rather the idea that God has a sovereign purpose and intent that He is working out in all of creation. In 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12, with that thought in mind, listen to the language. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and on thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. First of all, notice that God is now head over all, and he rules over all. The idea is not that at some future time, at the return of Christ, then God will rule over all, but God is ruling now. There will come a day when God will eliminate all evil and all sin from the created order. But He is still ruling now. As we noted earlier, this is David's prayer, but Jehoshaphat prayed something similar when he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. God is supreme and reigns over every aspect of His creation. There are those today who teach that God does not rule this world. You turn on television and see various sermons, it doesn't take long to hear someone say that God does not exercise sovereignty over this world. I've heard it said that right now the devil is sovereign ruler of the world and of nature, and God is not. That idea is absolutely contrary to what the Bible says about God's sovereign rule of creation. Besides these passages we just considered, listen to Psalm 29:3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. God is Lord of the waters. Think about the time of the flood when God exercised great sovereignty over the canopy of cloud of the earth, the waters of the deep. They burst forth. He brought judgment on the earth in the flood. That's a control over the natural elements. After the flood, God promised that never again would He flood the whole earth again like that. He put His rainbow in the sky as a sign of that covenant He made with Noah. Again, to make that promise means that He controls the natural order. In that covenant, He said, until the end, there will be seed time and harvest, summer, winter, night and day, the regular seasons. That promise means that God controls the trajectory of the planet, the seasons, the waters, the weather, all of those things. Think about the parting of the Red Sea, where God opened up the Red Sea before Moses and the people of Israel, and they passed over as on dry land, and then closed it in judgment on the pursuing Egyptian army. Again, there is a control of nature. In Psalm 104, in verses 5 through 9, He established the earth upon its foundation so that it will not totter forever and ever. Thou didst cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the sound of thy thunder they hurried away. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which thou didst establish for them. Thou didst set the boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Older and older we see in Scripture the idea that God is sovereign and ruling over every aspect of creation. In Job chapter 38, we read part of this passage earlier. In verses 31 and following, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? God says, can you unbuckle the belt of Orion and that constellation, changing, moving those stars? I can. You guide the various constellations and their structure and their forms? I do. In Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. God judged the world with the flood, parted the Red Sea. The earth opened and swallowed Korah and those who rebelled against Moses in Numbers 16. God caused the sun to stand still for Joshua in Joshua 10. Think about all the implications of astronomy that come to bear on that. On another occasion, He caused the sun to go backward on the sundial for Ahaz in Isaiah 38:8. The fire did not burn the three young Hebrew men when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, the lions were tame. God controls the created world. In Matthew 10, Jesus spoke of this and used it as a point of comfort for us. In Matthew 10, verses 29 and following, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. It doesn't say the sparrows are valueless, but he says man is of greater value than the animal kingdom. He said, not one little bird anywhere falls to the ground apart from your Father who is in heaven. God reigns over every aspect of the created universe. Every molecule is under His sovereign control. God is over the direction of nations, the weather, and animals. Not even a sparrow will fall to the ground outside the control and will of God. Again, in 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. God reigns over all that He has created. This means there is no such thing as luck or chance in God's universe. Nothing occurs outside of His plan and His purpose. Nothing in your life is by chance. Proverbs 16:33 states it succinctly, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. That's just a way of stating that every small detail of creation is under God's control. We also see that God is sovereign over the angels. Again, there's the statement that He has dominion over all things. We see many scriptures where God sends His angels to protect His people. Lot and his family were led out of Sodom before God rained down fire from heaven and destroyed the city. Sometimes the angels are sent to slay the wicked. Remember the complete destruction of Sennacherib's army in one night? Sometimes they are sent to deliver some message to God's people, such as the interpreting angel to Zechariah in those night visions, or the interpreting angel in the book of Revelation. God is supreme and sovereign over all of these angelic ministers. They do His will. There's another class of angels in existence, those angels that fell with Satan, and God reigns over these angels as well, even though they are in rebellion against Him. For example, in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, we see Satan coming before the Lord. In Job 1 and verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the Lord. God said, Satan, you can do certain things to him, but you cannot go beyond this boundary. Later he tells him, you can touch his body, you can bring sickness upon him, but you cannot kill him. We see in the ministry of Jesus casting out demons, plundering Satan's household, as well as stilling the storms and so on. In a final judgment, God casts Satan and his demonic angels into hell, exercising power and authority over them. I've met people who had a morbid fear of the devil. They talk about the devil like he is God himself. I knew a woman once years ago who, in her perspective, had a demon behind every curtain and under every table and chair, and she lived in terror and fear that the devil was going to get her. There were actually times when she did not share the gospel with someone because she was afraid the devil would get her for doing it. And she paid more attention to her fear of the devil than to the power of God. And while we are admonished in Scripture to be on guard against the wiles of the devil, we need to remember that we face a defeated foe who is never outside the reign and rule of God. We also see that God is sovereign over the will of man. Again, we see in 1 Chronicles 29:11 that he exercises dominion and headship over all. We see in Romans 11 that again, from him and through him and to him are all things. And older, we see God exercising his authority and power in providence and carrying out his plan and purpose. I remember once hearing a man make the statement, God is sovereign over all things except the human will. According to Scripture, that statement is blatantly false. In fact, if it were true, then God would not be sovereign at all. Robert Raymond writes this. He said, what these thinkers refuse to realize is that if there were one square inch in this entire universe not under his sovereign governance, God is neither absolutely sovereign nor omniscient, since that one square inch would have equal claim to its own sovereignty to do as it willed, with the authority even to set up a sign saying to God, keep out. This theological construction allows billions upon billions of these sovereign human inches to exist throughout God's universe, all denying by their own sovereign right his sovereignty over them. This construction cannot be squared with the biblical passages that teaches that God did in fact foreordain whatever comes to pass, knows all things infallibly, and providentially governs all his creatures and all their actions to bring about his own holy ends. Passages such as Acts 2:23, where it was in the plan and foreknowledge of God that Christ went to the cross. Or Acts 4:28, where those who crucified Christ did nothing beyond what is his purpose and predestination and cause to occur. Or Ephesians 1:11, where God declares very similarly that also we obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Our text in 1 Chronicles 29 declares that God reigns and rules over all things. That includes the will and direction of man. First, we see God's rule over man's will and his common grace that restrains evil. The concept of common grace is the idea that there is a type of grace or mercy of God that extends throughout the creation that restrains evil and does not allow men to be as wicked as they would want to be in their fallenness. There's also an aspect of common grace where God causes the sun and the rain to be on people's crops, even those who are unregenerate and in rebellion against God. For example, in Genesis chapter 20, in that chapter, Abraham told the lie that Sarah was his sister, and Abimelech took her into his household. God later told Abimelech, I did not allow you to touch her. Look at Exodus 34:24. God gave instructions to the people of Israel that three times a year the men were to go up to Jerusalem to participate in those feasts. And of course, the natural inclination after that's observed for a while with the peoples around them would be all the men are gone. That's a good time to make a raid. Let's go in and steal their flocks or steal their cattle or their families. In Exodus 34:23 and 24, three times a year all your males are to appear before the Lord God of Israel. And I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders. And no man shall covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before the Lord your God. God says, I will restrain the natural covetousness that would be in the peoples around you to protect your land when you're doing this thing that I've commanded you to come up in the three feasts a year. We also see that God controls the will of man when he desires to bring judgment or direct the course of the history. These passages are summarized really by Proverbs 21:1. It says, the king's heart is like channels in the water into the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes.
God is both good and all-loving and sovereign and all-powerful. He causes all things, both good and bad, to work together for our ultimate good. And in the end, He will right every wrong, establish justice and righteous judgment, and vindicate all who trust in Him. For an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message, God's Sovereignty Over All Things, Part 1. Our mailing address, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10, with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. Home Bible study groups, as well as men's and women's Bible studies, meet once a month and are excellent opportunities to build friendship and receive Christian support. At various times during the year, the church also offers theological seminars on such topics as God's sovereignty and salvation, heaven and hell, and the Trinity. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church and the ministry opportunities available, call the church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request the message, God's Sovereignty Over All Things, Part 1. Our address, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You may also hear today's message anytime at our Real Audio website, accradio.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we invite you back next time when we'll once again declare the glory of God's amazing grace.